Coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas, and recorded live, Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
Just a reminder, those of you who are listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online at promiseoftomorrow.biz. We're going to visit the Den of Strangers, visit our Fountain of Useless Information, and, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. But right now, let's get right to today's guest. What do you say? Well, many times in this program, you've heard us talk to David McIntyre of the National Graduate School in Falmouth, Massachusetts, and it's always so fascinating. And we managed to run down Raymond Gillette. He's the dean of Academic Affairs and Student Services at this famous school, the National Graduate School in Falmouth, and they're doing so many remarkable things. They're also one of the exhibitors of the Homeland Security Technology Conference we talk about so many times in this program. You'll be able to see them at the conference, of course, in the middle of November. There's more information on that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz, on the right-hand side of your screen. But right now, I want to introduce you to Ray. Welcome to the program, Raymond.
Well, welcome, Colonel. Thank you for having me.
We're so glad to have you. Now, I understand over the years that we've been speaking to David McIntyre, that you've been working there behind the scenes recent years to really make some big improvements in the school, and a lot of big changes have occurred. Maybe you can kind of bring us up to date on what's going on with the National Graduate School.
Sure, thank you. Well, you know, just briefly about us, we are an accredited institution. We are in our second decade, and we'll be celebrating our 20th anniversary starting January 2013. We offer Bachelor's of Science degree completion programs, master's degrees, and Doctor of Business Administration degrees, as well as professional certificates like Green Belt or Black Belt in Lean Six Sigma and Homeland Security and Defense. And we've distinguished ourselves through the way our model of learning, our applied learning methodology, catering to working adults in both the public and private sectors. And we deliver programs throughout the country in a highly interactive format with general practitioners serving as faculty who combine real-world experience with academic excellence. We're committed to stewarding, contributing to, and advancing the body of knowledge in areas of quality systems management, Six Sigma practices, homeland security and defense, and environmental quality policy and management through research, publications, and programs. And most recently, we have a new president, Interim President John Bridges III, who joined us in July and has embarked us on an extensive process improvement program here, as well as academic curriculum revisions. And we're quite excited about the future that we see coming up rather shortly and long term as well.
Yeah, John Bridges has quite a background in the business, and a fascinating person to talk to. I've had numerous conversations with John. You're real lucky to have him, and I know he's doing some diligent work. You guys are just as busy as bees over there, putting things together for the new school year. And of course, you're really moving on very well right now with the things that you're doing. And Homeland Security is a big deal. I know we've talked so many times with David McIntyre. He's always so fascinating, and he's quite an experienced person too, with a wealth of knowledge. So you really build in the experts to teach in the fields that you specialize in.
Yes, Colonel Mason. Our goal, our founding, and what we're all about is using general practitioners. We can call them subject matter experts, people who are practicing in the real world, and they have advanced degrees. And our faculty, being those real-world general practitioners, bring into the classroom a blend of theory and then actually practice. So the unique offering that we offer, we give anyone interested in a degree program, is you're going to take and have theory introduced to you, but the classes will show you how to take that theory and actually apply it to the real world. And our students work on various projects that have to be sponsored by an organization that are real world problems and issues.
Yeah, that's, I think, the fascinating thing about what you do. It's one thing to go and get a classroom education and think, oh, yeah, right, so what? But when you're talking to people that have really been down the roads, have really been out there in the marketplace experiencing it, I've had people in academics tell me before, they say, Colonel, you know, we try to teach this stuff, but you're really living it. You're the guy that's out there that are really in the mix of things. And so it's important to have people like that know the ropes and don't just teach it from an ivory tower, but are right down there in the pits and being able to say, hey, look, you're going to get out in the world and do these things, and this is the stuff you're going to experience, and this is what you can look forward to. So how did you assemble this group of people?
Well, our founding president, Dr. Robert Gee, back in the early 90s, came up with a unique vision for a school, and that was, this school is dedicated to adult learners. We have no full-time undergrads here, 18, 19, or 20 years old. We have no residence halls or football team. We're an institution that's purely dedicated to adult learners. And adults learn best from each other and also when they're introduced to real-world problems. So we take the adult learning theory of andragogy and we put it into practice rather strongly. And one of the keys is we seek out, wherever we can, those SMEs, subject matter experts, the people who are out there making a difference in what they're doing, and we seek them out and have them join our faculty. And students really welcome that engagement of a real-world practitioner with an advanced degree.
Now, somebody can get a degree pretty rapidly at the National Graduate School. I mean, there's some pretty crash courses going on there. Can you explain some of the things that we can look forward to?
Sure. You know, adults want acceleration. And many colleges and universities today are meeting that need for those adults who cannot take 10 years, perhaps, to earn their bachelor's degree the old-fashioned way. And the old-fashioned way I call traditionally in the classroom 15-week semesters. Mm. So there's about 65% of adult learners out there that want some sort of acceleration. We formatted and designed our degree programs in that accelerated format. So we have a wonderful degree program, a Bachelor's of Science completion degree program in either Homeland Security and Defense or Quality Systems Management. It's designed to be completed in 1 year. A student comes to us with 60 college credits from their associate's degree. They can earn up to 30 experiential credits based on lifelong learning, training, and their career, professional development. And we use the ACE standards, the American Council on Education, and CAEL standards, the Council for Adult Education Learning. And then they take 10 courses with us in one calendar year, and in 1 year they can earn their bachelor's degree program. They'll finish their last 30 credits with us and have their bachelor's degree. Our master's degree is designed the same way. It is a one-year program. It's accelerated, and within that 1 year, students are introduced to the course curriculum and the project and are able to graduate in a timely manner as well. And our Doctor of Business Administration is a 2-year program, 24 months long. Most doctoral programs in the country run 6. We're running 2 and doing a fine job of completing people because we introduce the dissertation topic right at the first week of class, and students work concurrently on their dissertation while taking courses. Acceleration is the key. We work hard to bring quality faculty, quality students into a room, let them engage, and provide them with the means to move on with their education.
Yeah, and in the riveting field of Homeland Security, of course, you're going to be visiting with people at the Homeland Security Technology Conference in Boston, and that's going to be just a few weeks away here. And people are going to get an actual chance to talk to you and talk about the things that can happen and that sort of thing. What a sensational career, because the field in Homeland Security is absolutely wide open, and it doesn't look like it's going to go away, probably nowhere in the foreseeable future. This is what we're kind of locked into. So the stuff that the National Graduate School is offering, the courses that you're offering, and the graduate programs that you're providing are absolutely vital and to the security of the country. Do you get foreign students too? I mean, some of our allies, are they attending your classes?
We do have international students that attend our classes. We don't have any international students right now in our Homeland Security courses. But as you mentioned, this degree, this subject, this topic, this area of concern, shall we say, is going to be one that's not going to go away, and it's growing by leaps and bounds. And so therefore the future for anyone holding that degree nomenclature, whether it's the bachelor's or master's, is a future of opportunity, unfortunately, based on just the fact of what the nature of it is, but purely we need to secure our country and our allies, etc. So anytime we can get people well educated in the field, the better off we are.
Yeah, and I want to mention at this time, too, that your banner and link to your website is also up at our website of promiseoftomorrow.biz, this radio program's website on the right-hand side of the screen. And anyone who's interested in knowing more about the National Graduate School can go to our website and link on that and find out all about you and get in touch with you.
Take a look at 9/11, and unfortunately our response had to be development of Homeland Security and Defense. And if I look at the future for that field, it's not going to go away. It's going to stay strong. It's one of those fields that if a young man came up to me at a high school graduation dinner and said, you know, what should I do, Dr. Gillette, I'd probably say Homeland Security and Defense or Quality Systems Management. Well, looking down the road, as you asked me to look, one, the National Graduate School will continue to develop and offer degree programs that are viable in the marketplace. So I'll just give you a couple. Specializations in biomedical, specializations in environmental quality management policy, specializations in health systems. Marketing myopia means that you kind of lose sight of where you are in a market. So instead of being in the railroad business, we're in the transportation business. We may not know what transportation is. So in our business, we're in the education business. So today we know the education as we have it in our curriculum. 5-10 years from now, we're still going to be in the education business, but our program offerings will be different because of meeting the needs in the marketplace. And that's one way that you survive as an organization, is to be mindful of what the market needs are and what blends well with the future. Well, you know, I think we have to talk about the big trend in education, where students want education anytime, any place, any medium. And so online learning is not going to go away. And I'm a history major, Colonel, so I often tell the story of Willie Sutton, the great bank robber, who was a gentleman's gentleman when it came to robbing a bank. And he had been picked up, I think, for his 8th bank robbery by the FBI agents. And they really like Willie Sutton. He was a gentleman. He used to rob you politely, quietly, never had a gun. And his etiquette was absolutely wonderful, if you can imagine that, robbing a bank. And they said to him, Willie, why do you rob banks? Out of pure aspiration, because they just couldn't figure this guy out. And he says, I rob banks because that's where the money is. Well, in education today, if somebody asks me, why are we online? You have to be online because that's where the students are and will continue to be. So over the last 2 years, we've shifted a lot of our program offerings. So no matter where you are in the United States or outside of the United States, you can take a class with us anytime, any place, any venue, and that's going to continue. I think it's about 75% of adult learners today have taken at least one course online and show a strong preference to do so. So I want everybody out in across the country to think of the National Graduate School not only as a bricks and mortar kind of school. You know, we'll continue to offer face-to-face classes at corporate settings and military installations, but we'll also continue to meet that large demand for online learning and continue to offer that as our programs as well.
I want to remind the listeners, too, that if you want to know more about the National Graduate School or the Homeland Security Technology Conference that's going on the 13th through the 15th in Boston, you can find that at our website, the promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link to both the conference and to the National Graduate School, and you can attend the conference and meet Ray and John and the other people that are going to be there that will tell you all about the things that are happening. Fact is, I think Ray, you're going to be there. I think John can't make it. Is that the situation?
That's correct. He's traveling, but I am planning on being there with some members of our team.
All right, that's excellent.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having you. That's for sure. Dr. Raymond Gillette, Dean of Academic Affairs and Student Services at the famous National Graduate School in Falmouth, Massachusetts. You've been so kind to be with us today. Thank you so much for taking the time to be aboard. We really appreciate having you.
Thank you, sir. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Well, as we talk all the time in this program about the Homeland Security Technologies Exposition going on November 13th through the 15th in Boston, and one of the major sponsors of the conference this year, has been a sponsor really leading up to the program all year long, is L3 Systems. And we're very interested in what L3 Systems is doing because very involved with container security, and that is a major thing that we need to pay attention to with Homeland Security, as everybody knows. And we've managed to find Louis Guillaume. He's with L3 Systems and speaking to us from his office in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Welcome to the program, Louis.
Thank you, Colonel. Glad to talk to you.
Now then, you're a nuclear technology manager, 35 years experience in the nuclear industry in the United States Nuclear Research Laboratories, but really you're from France, and France has got a big history of nuclear, and there's a lot of nuclear stuff going on there. So did you get mainly your nuclear education in France?
No, I did my graduate work in the United States at MIT, and I spent my entire career here in the U.S., both in the nuclear industry and in National Lab, working specifically at Los Alamos National Lab, and supporting the NNSA, which is the National Nuclear Security Agency, which is the defense program and non-proliferation branch of the Department of Energy on the non-proliferation program.
All right, tell us about container security. It's been a really big thing. What is the United States response framework with container security?
Well, let me talk about the two vectors of that response. The first one is really driven by DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, and as you know, in 2001, after the September 2001 terror attack, the Safe Port Act was enacted to basically beef up the maritime facilities in the United States, create a transportation worker identification credential, set in place, and I'm just going over the main part of the Safe Port Act, which stands for Security and Accountability for Every Port Act of 2006. Creation of the Container Security Initiative, and obviously this is a tremendous undertaking, and so it has taken some time to set that up. And recently, the Safe Port Reauthorization Act, which was introduced in April of 2011, to authorize appropriation for 2011 to 2016. Allows the automated targeting system for identifying and inspecting high-risk container cargo, reinforce the Container Security Initiative framework, and also the Custom Trade Partnership Against Terrorism, the CTPAT. So this is one vector which is driven by DHS. The other one, which looks outside the United States, is really driven by the NNSA. And NNSA, basically the origin of fighting against nuclear terrorism, originate after the dismantlement of the former Soviet Union with the Nunn-Lugar Agreement, if you recall, in 1992. So the hard work really was to quickly secure the former Soviet Union loose weapon material and really poorly guarded nuclear facilities through what is called essentially the first line of defense. It's not called like that, but it's basically the first line of defense for us from the United States to really secure the material at the source. And the companion programs was the second line of defense, which was to secure about 300 plus land borders, seaport, riverport, airport around the former Soviet Union, and that has taken place over the past 6 years. This has been a tremendous undertaking. This has also been complemented by the Megaport program, which really is trying to secure the cargo before it comes to the United States. So these two main vectors are really what constitute the U.S. framework, response framework to the terrorist attack of September 11.
So you're securing the ports around the former Soviet Union to be sure that nuclear material that could be used dangerously by terrorists and that sort of thing around the world doesn't get out of the area. Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, correct. It's basically, if you like, it's a multi-layered approach. I mean, the U.S. government was very wise in thinking a layered approach. I mean, you do not tackle this kind of problem without several security layers. And so the second line of defense was precisely to intercept and interdict the illicit trafficking of nuclear materials, which would have basically been left from the first line of defense, if you will, basically insiders or people with knowledge of where nuclear material weapons and other dangerous material, radioactive material, could be found and transporting that outside the Soviet Union. Yes.
And then the next defense is actually at the borders of the United States. So to see what is entering the United States that could be dangerous material, is that what? So there were two things then. One is what leaves the former Soviet Union, and the other is what is coming into this country. Is that what you're saying? And then what about our allies like France and England and the NATO countries, that sort of thing? Are they being protected a similar way?
That's where the Megaport program comes into play. It's a good question. Basically, the first line of defense was securing inside the former Soviet Union, as I explained. The second line of defense was securing the borders and all kinds of, you know, form of borders. And the third line of defense, if you will, was the Megaport program, which was also driven by NNSA before it came to the United States, where we have also layers of defense. Mm-hmm. So the Megaport program was to equip 100 large port, both origin and destination port and transshipment ports, with radiation detectors to again intercept illicit trafficking of nuclear material. And the two vectors sort of merge into these foreign ports by having very experienced and very competent CBP officers deployed under the Container Security Initiative in foreign ports to precisely beef up that oversight, that, you know, the inspection of container was done according to very stringent standards.
Is any of this stuff useful in keeping track of the developing nuclear program in Iran?
Well, these are programs that are basically in place openly to prevent illicit trafficking of nuclear materials. Now, there's also other layers we cannot talk about that basically would track, covert activities in program in foreign countries, which could be dangerous to the United States and its allies.
All right, so this is top secret stuff that we're not supposed to be delving into too deeply. Just know that we have these capabilities. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
All right. Very interesting. Well, L3 Systems is one of the sponsors of the IEEE Homeland Security's Technologies Conference that's coming up real shortly, and we're looking forward to seeing you there. What's some of the highlights that you plan to demonstrate at the event, and what can we look forward to?
Well, I can explain that in a second.
Okay, I need you to hold that thought for a minute while we take a break and be right back. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers will we meet today? Ooh, let's behold this. It's Dwight David Eisenhower from the Republican Convention in 1952.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have summoned me on behalf of millions of your fellow Americans to lead a great crusade for freedom in America and freedom in the world. I know something of the solemn responsibility responsibility of leading a crusade. I have led one.